early 2000s, there were basically two ways to build a successful custom car or motorcycle shop. You could put in hours of hard work every single day over many years to cultivate a trusting and dedicated consumer base, or you could have a reality TV show. It was a craze, with folks like Jesse James, West Coast Customs, and Richard Rawlings building huge careers and even huger vehicles with their over-the-top TV garages. But perhaps no one capitalized on this trend better than the guys at Orange County Choppers. Their show was more than just about big-ass bikes. The real hook was the volatile relationship between Paul Tuttle Sr., the shop's boss hog, and his apathetic design whiz son, Polly Jr. The family's frequent and high-explosive arguments became must-watch TV and helped turn Orange County Choppers into more than just a bike shop. The Tuttles became an international brand, with the Discovery Channel's top-rated show, two video games, an officially licensed cologne, and of course, a Hall of Fame meme. Today on Pass Gas, how did a gruff steelworker from the Catskills change motorcycles forever? How did he and his son become the biggest thing in reality TV? And why did he nearly lose that son in the process? It's Orange County Choppers.
Yeah, baby.
Pass Gas.
What is that video game?
I don't know.
You just fight with each other and throw stuff?
Press X to berate your son.
Dude, I would love to get paid to fight with my dad.
Pass Gas Podcast. It's about cars, it's not about forts.
Big thanks to Liquid IV for sponsoring this episode of Pass Gas. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code GAS at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code GAS at liquidiv.com.
The intro was a little hand-wavy, but I feel like some of these shops actually did put a lot of work in before they got a reality show. I feel like that's a little bit dismissive of people who actually earned it.
Mm-hmm. I think you might be right on that. Yeah.
Orange County Choppers, however, not that case. The work they did was pretty bad. I just watched a Bikes and Beards video where he bought the Geico bike and trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw the episode, but it looks real bad. It's got, just
is it a lizard?
It's bright yellow. The belt is kind of right where your forearm goes to the handlebar.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to ride it, and it looks so awkward.
Well, as I understand it, I'm obviously none of us chopper guys here.
Mm-hmm.
Barely even motorcycle guys, which makes us very qualified for this episode. But, I mean, as far as I know, choppers are more of like, it's like an art piece. It's like a hot rod that you like trailer to a show. You put down on the ground and just kind of like have people look at and admire the handiwork.
It's not supposed to be comfortable. It's supposed to look
good.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like
a lot of these are hardtails too. No suspension on the back.
Totally. And like these guys are, I wouldn't sell anybody any of the cars that we've built on Dona.
No.
What I mean? And so like I think like my problem isn't with them building them. My problem is with them selling them to someone who has the intention to ride it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we sold someone the Ranger, I would be like, don't drive it.
Yeah.
Or high car, low car, like just don't drive it. Like if you want to put this
display
in your garage and like you're a big fan of the channel and you want to talk to your friends about this thing, this Geico bike, if you love insurance and you want a motorcycle to tell everybody, then like for sure, I'll sell you that.
I drove Hi-Z last week, and it was really fun.
Oh, yeah, you drifted that a little bit.
I know, but you work here. I wouldn't sell it to somebody.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
With the intention of being like, yeah, we make stuff.
I'm on Paul Jr.'s website right now, Paul Jr. Designs. And if you go to the bikes page, the thing at the very top, it says, meet the bikes, a powerful marketing tool.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it's for marketing.
Yeah, it's branded content.
Yeah.
So, like, all of this is to say, like, if someone's making a video that's like, hey, this bike with the supercharger on top of the tank is kind of awkward to drive. It's like, no duh, dude. Like, that's not an expose.
Anyway,
I think people are just out to get. I got them. This bike is bad.
I've got a lot of sympathy for Paul Jr. Let's.
Yeah. I love Mikey.
Mikey. We had a Pez dispenser with his head on.
I know. I love Mikey.
Yeah. Someone opened it up. I gave it to you as a present.
It was Kanan that opened it up.
No, yeah. It was Henry.
Well, Henry did everything.
Kanan, Henry.
Yeah. Kanan and Henry.
No reverence for the Pez dispenser.
He ate 20-year-old Pez, and he ripped open the package. Ugh.
It's pretty funny.
Love the guy, but
I want to strangle him.
Welcome to Pass Gas. My name is Nolan Sykes. Joined as always by James Pumphrey.
What? Can't wait to get to Mikey.
And Joe Weber.
What's up? A flex time.
Oh, yeah. Those guys were yoked.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they were.
Oh, yeah.
Big arms over there.
You know, I'm like close to 40. And Nolan Sykes.
Slurp.
The slurp god himself.
Make it slurp.
Make it slurp.
Make it slurp god.
Slurp.
Slurp god Nolan Sykes.
Slurp.
The slurp god. Slurp god.
This one doesn't even have wheels that are functional. Anyway, it's very nostalgic. Today we're talking about Orange County Choppers. That show was huge.
Huge.
It was on all the time.
Yeah.
We gotta get delivery of this bike or else we're gonna be finished.
Let me throw this box at your head. I used to watch it with my dad.
Yeah?
Yeah, we loved it.
What was that like?
My dad, like, in hindsight, I'm like, haha, that was weird that he liked that stuff and, like, talked to me. Like, we watched Orange County Choppers. He was like, that's kind of like us. And, and then we would watch, like, The Simpsons before that, like, earlier on. And he was like, haha, that's like us. Like, one of his favorite movies was, like, This Boy's Life. Mm-hmm. Like, he just, like, really... like related with abusive dads and their protagonist sons
are negligent. I wouldn't call Homer abusive. I think he's more negligent.
He strangled Bart all the time.
Yeah, that is abusive.
Yeah,
abusive.
Yeah.
I watched. My mom loved Jackass.
Yeah,
so, really.
Yeah, from the time I was 13, she will still watch a Jackass movie if I ask her nowadays. She loves it.
I read a tweet that recently they said Jackass is the Paris burning for like millennial white skater guys. Paris is burning.
Oh, like the drag.
Yeah. It's like such a great cultural documentary of like a certain group of people at a certain time. It's like turn of the century.
Yeah.
Skater, suburban guys. This is like,
cause we knew
capsule.
Before everyone else, we watched the CKY videos and we're like, oh dude, this Bam and his crew, like Bam's a sick skater.
The
Hardogram is so sick. Like, and then they became mainstream and they never lost their touch.
No, they're still great. I worked for them for a while.
Hell yeah.
Worked for
Dick House.
Dick House.
Should we get into this?
Yeah, I was looking at CKY choppers. Shirts yesterday.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Jess Margera.
Yeah, was in the band. CKY.
I remember that. Paul Sr. and his musky Waller-style Fu Manchu seem synonymous with motorcycles, but Orange County Choppers actually started as a side hustle to Sr.'s original business, which was creatively called Paul's Welding.
Oh, that makes sense then.
Senior was born in Yonkers, just outside New York City, in 1949. He returned to the area after a stint in the Merchant Marines during the Vietnam War and started his business with nothing but a single pickup truck and a welding machine. Eventually, he was assembling metal construction frames for pretty much all of Orange County, New York, and opened a 7,000-square-foot warehouse in Rock Tavern, New York. He called it Orange County Iron. That's pretty sick.
That is sick.
That's a nice name.
I would love that life. And I'm watching The Sopranos right now, and it's very nostalgic because it was like a time when I was a kid, and it's like suburban New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I would love to just be a dad or a guy with like a business.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, yeah, I own an iron company. My dad welds, I think.
Yeah, he's got a big warehouse. Air conditioning.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't really know exactly.
Gutters. My dad is a gutter millionaire.
Gutter guy. Yeah.
The cars in that are fun.
In The Sopranos.
Chris has a lot of cool cars.
Yeah, Lexus in the first episode.
Yeah, and then the one that he steals from the rival mob boss, the Maserati.
Oh, not yet.
Ah, no! Spoiler!
Oh, no, we've been hoping that he'd steal a Maserati.
The work that Paul did was modest, but Senior still found it satisfying. While promoting his book, The Ride of a Lifetime, he reflected that, quote, you gotta have a Paul Senior.
I loved ironwork because when you can't take nothing and develop it into something,
then stand back and look at what you did. That's a reward.
I think that was pretty good.
Yeah.
The business kept growing, and so did Paul's family. His first son, Paul Jr., was born in 1974, followed shortly after by three other kids, including the youngest, Mikey, in 1978. But at the same time, Sr. was struggling with a drug and alcohol addiction, which continued until 1985 when he finally went to rehab on the advice of his wife.
Nice.
During this busy and turbulent period, Sr. became more and more interested in bikes. With the help of a partner at work, he began tinkering with a 1971 Triumph during off hours. In 1974, though, he bought his first Harley. It was cherry red with yellow flames, which Paul dubbed the Sunshine Bike. He was eager to learn more, and this became the first bike he took apart completely. It almost didn't survive. Senior later described his painstaking process of disassembling the bike. In order to learn the different parts, he labeled every single piece and spread them out all over a table in the basement of his house with only his pet Great Dane for company.
That's a big company.
I know.
In my experience, the assembly process after disassembling is always much more painstaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Putting it back together is tough. Yeah, taking it apart, less fun, but easy.
I love taking stuff apart.
Yeah.
I do love taking stuff apart. I'm like a reverse meth. No, I am a meth. No, meth
I'm a meth head.
Yeah, yeah, I take stuff apart. I don't know how to put back together.
I'm a reverse meth head. I'm a heroin addict.
Concerning that Great Dane, quote,
I tied him to the oil tank, which was not a good idea. He chewed a hole in the tank, and 55 gallons of oil was on the floor.
What?
And he knocked the table over so that every piece of the bike was all over the basement and soaked in oil. So, you know, I had to figure it out. I mean, waste management.
Why does he have a 55-gallon tank of oil?
In his basement.
In his basement.
Underneath his house. I don't know.
And the dog chewed through. Oh, it might have been plastic.
Plastic one.
Yeah.
Oh.
I can believe it.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
Dogs do that kind
of
stuff.
My friend Chris, his dog ate the entire interior of an M3.
No.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a dog?
That'll happen.
Chihuahua. A chihuahua.
No. Really hungry chihuahua.
Like a mastiff.
Well, I guess like leather is like fruit leather to dogs.
Yeah. It is.
Right?
Yeah, fruit by the foot.
Yeah, it's meat leather.
Yeah.
Meat leather.
In 1995, Senior's first marriage fell apart. Mm. Over the next few years, he began to recognize his initial failings as a father. And one way in which he tried to reconnect with his children was to begin to build a bike with Polly in 1999.
The 90s, baby.
Wow. At the time, Junior was the head of the rail shop at Orange County Ironworks. Rail shop.
Hmm.
This sounds like a bar my dad used to go to. JK. Which by this point had again moved into a bigger facility and again changed its name. But it quickly became apparent that Bali had a gift for visualizing choppers and building them from scratch. Senior saw another successful business in the making. In 1999, the Tuttles founded Orange County Choppers in the lower shop of the Orange County Ironworks building. Polly's younger brother Dan took over running the metal business, while Senior and Junior split ownership of the new bike shop 80-20. In addition to minority ownership, Polly assumed the title of chief designer and fabricator of OCC.
Did Dan ever make an appearance in the show? I don't remember meeting him.
I think maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think he was a character, but I think, like, they would go over to Orange County Ironworks every once in a while.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, I gotta go. They got this really weird shape of rebar. I think I'm gonna use this for the cinder block bike.
That would be a bike they would make.
Yeah. The Tuttles' first bike was completed later that year and made its debut in October 1999 at Daytona's Biketoberfest.
Biketober.
Yeah, dude. A chopper Senior started building in his basement called True Blue. The shiny silver and blue paint job, a chromed engine, and high handlebars and a low back.
Could be literally any bike they built.
Mm-hmm.
That description.
True Blue was an instant crowd pleaser. It helped the Tuttles gain a reputation for building flashy and stylish bikes from scratch. It also came along at the perfect time. I mean, True Blue, I think, was more in line with motorcycles that were going on at the time. This is like before they got into the theme bikes.
Yeah.
And it seems like the theme bikes, I mean, we'll get into it later, but the theme bikes are like the thing works, let's do it again. Oh, the thing works, we better do it again until eventually they're making like a jet.
And also they're like on TV. Every season has to like build on itself. You got to get bigger and bigger. Like, you know, they were selling OCC shirts at like Kmart, you know, it was like totally mainstream by that point. But dude, True Blue is sick.
Yeah. It's like a normal chopper. Yeah. In the late 90s. In 2000, the Discovery Channel produced a documentary called Motorcycle Mania about Jesse James and his bike shop.
Dude, West Coast I remember Choppers. This. I remember this one.
This was before you could watch hours and hours and hours of stuff you liked. Yeah. And like when something came on, you were like, oh.
I remember seeing this. It was Jesse James with. I remember there's like a clip in that where he's talking about, man, when we first started the shop, we'd have like strippers over here. My wife would get mad. And it was like played for like, yeah, Jesse's in the right on that.
Yeah.
It's like, what, dude?
What, dude? Yeah. Why?
Yeah, crazy. Yeah. I do remember that one.
As an adult, you're like, wait, why?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
At a shop?
At your
that's not
work?
Safe.
At work? That's those are girls. Those are women, dude. It was a huge success and eventually spawned the show Monster Garage, which James and his crew modified a normal vehicle into a monster machine.
So good.
I love Monster Garage.
Do you think the kids know about Monster Garage?
Monster Garage.
Yeah.
James pulled in 1.5 million viewers per episode, much more than the animal documentaries and home decorating shows that dominated Discovery's programming lineup at the
time. Trading Spaces was all right.
Trading Spaces was okay. And Animals Got Lives. I want to know what's going on.
Yeah, that's in our average video view count on our main channel, 1.5 million views.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, it's like deep cable.
Deep
and you could only
you
watch it
Discovery
at the
Channel.
Same time.
No, I know. I'm saying like, it's funny to look at like cable success stories now, and
but it is concurrent.
Mm-hmm.
So all those people have to watch that
at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Man, Monster Garage.
Dude, Monster Garage rules.
So good.
Discovery executives were hungry for more shows like Monster Garage, so they asked Craig Piligian, producer of the new reality series Survivor.
Oh.
And an upcoming Discovery show called Dirty Jobs make a pilot.
Mm.
I mean, the guy's got the cred.
He knows. Yeah. He knows what's good.
I produce Survivor and Dirty Jobs. Damn. Since James was based in California, they decided the new show should differentiate itself by following an East Coast chopper shop.
But named after a West Coast.
Yeah, that was always confusing.
Very confusing to me. When I found out it was New York, I was like,
wait, what?
What?
Yeah.
Even though all the exterior shots of that show are clearly
the
on the East Coast in the woods somewhere. Yeah.
I lived in Kentucky.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, wait, it's not in California?
Yeah.
That's Orange County.
I thought they were near the Angel Stadium.
Yeah. I thought they were close to Adam's house. After researching East Coast motorcycle builders, Piligian approached Senior with a structured episodic concept similar to Monster Garage. His idea for Senior and Polly to visit a motorcycle junkyard each episode, pick out a two-wheeled trash heap, then take it into the shop and shine it into something brand new.
I could see that, but that doesn't sound as exciting as what the show would eventually be.
Uh-huh.
It's also like the pitch that someone who doesn't know anything pitches.
Yeah.
Because it's saving money.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think it's like way more realistic to do it with motorcycles than cars. I just feel like we, like early on with Donut, we were pitched like Junkyard Wars, but with cars.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, that would be insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Senior hated it. His business was building choppers from scratch, not rebuilding piles of crap. And he refused to budge. So, Piligian moved on to another builder in New Hampshire, or at least he planned to. But the day before shooting was set to begin, he discovered that his second choice had never actually built a bike.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yeah. And the Orange County Chopper guys had built at least one.
Yeah.
Piligian correctly noted this might threaten the success of his bike building TV show.
Yeah.
So, the morning that his crew was set to leave, Piligian called up OCC and revised the series concept so it would conform to Senior's parameters. He didn't even tell the Discovery Channel. He just changed his crew's travel arrangements, and the next day, they began filming the pilot for American Chopper.
Wow. Nice. That's some nimble producing.
I know. It is very quick producing. Also, pilots, no one knows what to expect with pilots anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the only time he could have done this, and it seems like the like, perfect move.
Yeah, I filmed the pilot for NBC one time with Christina Applegate, Maya Rudolph, Will Arnett. I thought I had made it. And then the pilot got picked up. I got fired, and my character got turned into a girl.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Is that Cougar Town?
Yes, Cougar Town. They turned all the... It was originally called Guy Town. It was a show about guys who just tell secrets about each other and F each other's boyfriends and stuff.
Yeah.
And then after the pilot, they changed it to Cougar Town, which in hindsight, I know is a pretty bad summer for me, but much better show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Senior tells the story a little differently. In his version, OCC was eager to do the show from the jump. Quote, "We started filming... We got a phone call, and they say, you want to do a documentary? And that was something that everybody and their brother wanted because Jesse James had got it and was successful overnight, and we were thrilled about it." In the end, the Tuttles blew Jesse James out of the frickin' water. The pilot for American Chopper debuted in September 2002 and was an immediate rating smash. And let me tell you, you had two viewers in Louisville, Kentucky by the name of Dave and James Pumphrey. The first episode followed Paulie as he fabricated a jet bike. I loved this. Modeled after an F-117 stealth fighter. Eventually, Senior showed up to scream at Paulie. And that's pretty much what happens. And a successful formula was born. Senior was initially unhappy with his portrayal, but lightened up when the new orders started rolling in as a result of the show. All press is good press, you know? Discovery aired a second episode as quickly as they could. Less than 4 years after its founding, Orange County Choppers was suddenly the most famous custom bike builder in the country.
Wow.
Discovery soon ordered 27 additional episodes of American Chopper. I forgot that the show was called American Chopper, not Orange County Chopper.
Oh, yeah.
American Chopper.
American Chopper.
This week on American Chopper.
It's such a good name, dude, because it, like... just makes me think like Vietnam, you know?
Bungie.
Yeah, totally, right? Then several more seasons after that. Over time, the cast of characters expanded to include OCC employees like Vinny DiMartino and Coney Canelli, along with the youngest Tuttle sibling, my favorite,
Mikey,
who didn't know jack about bikes, but often provided comic relief when things got tense between his father and older brother.
He always got a foil.
Get a big guy with curly hair and glasses.
Got to.
There you go.
What's the Chumley?
Chumley, yeah. From
American Porn Pawn Star.
Stars. American Porn Stars?
American Pawn Shop.
American Pawn Shop.
American Pawn.
Pawn Stars.
Pawn Stars. It is called Pawn Stars.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I said Porn Stars. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to have like some comic relief because you got to have the drama is what keeps people watching. Mm-hmm. And that's often the most annoying part of reality shows for me. But then you got to have some goofus jump
you
in.
Yeah, you got to break the tension a little bit. Oh my God. It's exhausting.
Yeah, he's
it's
like on Discovery to eat a Plus. Chili dog and it slides into
you
the
gotta,
gas tank.
You got
to
have someone in there who reminds the audience, hey, we're not taking this too seriously.
Yeah. Look, we're a family after all.
After all, we after are a family. Day. And I'm the youngest, Mikey.
Yeah. Look, I'm mad at you boys, but you got to eat dinner. Yeah.
Wasn't Mikey the first person to ever wear Crocs?
Really?
I think he probably did wear them.
You know about the Idiocracy Croc thing?
Yeah, yeah.
That's fun. Do you know about that, Nolan?
No.
They had such a shoestring budget for Idiocracy.
They actually didn't have a shoestring budget. That's why they used Crocs.
Oh, nice, because they don't have shoestrings. They had a really small budget for Idiocracy, mm-hmm. and the producer was just told to like find the dumbest-looking shoe for the mm-hmm. cheapest price.
Mm-hmm.
And so... they bought a ton of Crocs and made everyone in Idiocracy wear Crocs.
Yeah, pretty, pretty prescient. Crocs are expensive now.
How much?
Like $60, $70.
I bought mine for like 32, like 4 years ago.
Yeah, well, that's now crazy. They're cool. Now people are wearing them, and they got themes.
Yeah.
You want McDonald's Crocs? You're looking at like $100.
We'll get right back to it, but first, a few commercials.
American Chopper was a pioneer. Today, there are dozens of documentary series all about the kinds of businesses and their colorful employees. But at the time, reality TV consisted almost exclusively of competition-based formats with high production values like Survivor, American Idol, Fear Factor, Amazing Race, etc.
Mm-hmm.
The Tuttles, though, broke the mold. In total, do you guys know the guy from Fear Factor as a podcast now?
Danny?
The producer Danny Bonaducci?
Yeah. In total, the American Chopper franchise and its various spinoffs ran for nearly 250 episodes across 20-plus years, gaining millions of fans. And
20 years?
I did not know that.
That means it was going till 2 years ago?
What?
Wow. Gaining millions of fans and spawning a series of increasingly absurd motorcycles. Among the most memorable include a wheelchair chopper. Commissioned for the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation,
shut up.
Which was designed to be ridden by people with spinal injuries and painted Superman blue in honor of Reeve's most famous role. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's
oh,
like a trike.
Okay.
It's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually cool.
It's a cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, there's also There was also the fire bike, a tribute to firefighters that had featured intricate flame motifs and incorporated actual steel from the World Trade Center towers.
Yeah, I think for me, this is the most, when I think of Orange County Choppers, I think of the fire bike.
I think of the fire bike or the Black Widow, the spider one.
The Black Widow, yeah.
Yeah, but this is probably, this is iconic bike, I think.
So, all right, I'm just going through the IMDb right now. It went till 2019.
That's wild.
And it looks like they got into more like cafe racers, which is kind
following
of a cool move.
Yeah. Following the trend. You got to evolve.
Yeah.
Another wild piece was inspired by the Marvel character Black Widow with spider-themed accents and a sleek black finish. Is that the Black Widow, I assume?
Yes.
I love that bike. I remember my buddy Mitch Maroney in elementary school had a Orange County Choppers t-shirt with the Black Widow on it.
Mitch
Maroney
would, dude.
Yeah.
Mitch Maroney would. I went to his house one time. And
I wish a Mitch Maroney would.
Like, I wish a Mitch Maroney would.
What was
his
older sister's name? I think it was Kelly or something. Anyway, and he just like tortured her for like, just would just run into her room and scream at her for like, you know, 2 minutes and then run out, as you do as a little brother, I assume. You ever torture your older sister like that?
I don't think she cared enough about me for me to do that.
She was
cool.
Oh, man. My older sister always rubbed it in that she had more friends than me, which I think is where this complex I have comes from.
Complex of having a lot of friends that you have deep connections with and have to hang out with a lot and care for them.
Yeah.
That complex.
She dropped my Tamagotchi in her lemonade.
Whoa, that's
and
messed
was up. Laughing about
that
it.
Sounds like a Doja Cat line.
And I was
Tamagotchi
like,
in the lemonade.
I was like, frick you. And I went up and took a bottle of shampoo and dumped it out on her stereo.
Oh, that'll happen.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of older sisters, one time my older sister had a sleepover at her other friend, so she was gone from the house, and I went into her room and listened to all of her CDs, and I listened to Counting Crows a bunch, and the next day at church, her and her friend were walking, and like, we didn't go to church together, she went with this other.
Because she was at the sleepover,
and I walked up to her and her friend, and like, I was like, round here always stay like then that he goes very and it's so it's like kind of long, especially for like a walk up to someone and like be like
and you just committed to the whole verse, you committed to like the whole thing,
but I realized like halfway through I was like, this is long part and like it's not a part you can like stop and so like I like finished and they were both just like and like walked past, and I was like, damn. I mean, like, I was like really embarrassed, like, enough so like I still remember it.
That's
and,
so funny.
But at the time, too, I remember being like, yeah, I picked the wrong part.
Yeah.
So chose Mr. Jones.
Yeah. 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 I should have been like, Mr. Jones and me. But you didn't know I knew that.
Yeah.
Mary and Redhead Girl. I don't remember your name.
But besides the fire bike and Black Widow, there are some lowlights, too. A chopper painted to look like the Geico Spokes Gecko, the bike, the aforementioned bike. There was a dragon themed bike inspired by and also paid for by the movie Aragorn.
Hell yeah.
Is that like Shouts a Lord out of the Rings?
Christopher Pollini. Yeah, it's like, so the whole thing with that was that Christopher Pollini, the author, was like 14 when he wrote the first book, and that was like a huge selling point of the book. It was like, a kid wrote this.
Yeah.
In hindsight, I don't know if that's like the best selling point.
Yeah.
I mean, for kids, it made me want to read it, because I was like, I want to read a book.
Yeah.
A kid made it, because that's for me. The real Aragorn heads out there, they don't mess with the movie. They don't like the movie.
Well, I bet that the bike was movie themed, well, not book themed.
Maybe. This bike's pretty all right, the Aragorn bike. It's like true blue, but like with leather.
I like when choppers have the fork below the hub of the wheel. I think that's a cool thing.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. So no matter how complicated the designs got, every OCC bike was built to run. In most episodes of the show, Senior or Polly would ride the featured bike once it was finished, but they also weren't really for riding. Many of the bikes didn't even have odometers. Didn't know how many miles you rode on them. But this was probably a good thing, okay? Despite price tags that started around the mid-$40,000 and could reach as high as a cool million, built to run did not mean built to last. Or as OCC's full-time salesperson, Michael Burkhouse, once put it, quote,
I always tell people it's like buying a race car. You drive it 200 miles, something breaks.
That's what the salesman says?
But I like that he said that.
He's upfront about it.
Like, he should say that. Yeah. That's what he should say. It's like, hey, just so you know, you're not going to commute on this thing.
Yeah.
We made it for a TV show. It looks like a dragon.
Yeah.
You should know this. But in case you don't know, realize what you're buying.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well,
no suspension. Your back's going
to
hurt.
It wouldn't take long for that reputation to spread, okay? So, naturally, the Tuttle's fame and success attracted haters as well as fans. Some bikers didn't like that their lifestyle was being co-opted for reality TV.
I get it.
Other people just thought their bike sucked. One of those people was Jay Leno.
Oh, that's the biggest piece of junk. You know something? I was so stunned at how bad it was built.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty really good.
It was like not a caricature. Like, I really tried to nail it.
Closed my eyes and he was here with me.
Oh, that's the biggest piece of junk. You know something? I was so stunned at how bad it was built.
That's good. In fact, Orange County choppers gained a bit of a reputation for building clunkers. Leno goes on to talk about how the entire electrical system was fused through the taillight so that if the light blew out, the whole bike would die.
What?
Yeah.
That's not good.
That's dumb.
That's not good.
Yeah.
These choppers were designed from an aesthetic perspective first, foremost, and basically exclusively. For one thing, OCC never built the engines themselves. They generally sourced engines from Harley-Davidson or aftermarket retailers, except for the times it became part of the gimmick, like when they used a lawnmower engine for a Dixie chopper, which was advertised as the world's fastest mower.
That's not like the worst part for me. Like,
yeah,
if you don't build an engine, a lot of people don't build engines.
Yeah, no, I think it's probably better that they didn't build the engine.
Yeah, and I like stand by my stance that like, yeah, these are decorative motorcycles, essentially. But you want everything to be wired right.
Yeah.
You know, you want it to, that's part of the art is that it was put together well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know how our cars break, I wouldn't say regularly, but they do. It would be a lot more often if we had to build the engine for every single car we do here.
But also if we sold them to somebody.
Yeah, that too.
That's the thing. We don't sell our cars. I've been very
We've been clear about this. That. We don't sell the cars.
Yeah.
So, a few years back, YouTuber Sean Kerr from Bikes and Beards bought a used OCC chopper called Corporal Punishment for $8,000.
Oh, it's about the death penalty?
It was built for an Army veteran during season 3 of the show. And in Sean's review, he called it, quote, by far the worst bike he had ever ridden.
I'm sure.
Because of aesthetic choices, the back end was completely rigid. It's a hardtail. Yeah. And so the bike had no suspension, not even a spring seat. Oh, God, my back. The front brake was useless, and the back brake was too powerful. He discovered that it was powered by a bone stock 80 cubic inch Harley-Davidson Evolution V-twin engine. The bike only put out 62 horsepower and 73 foot-pounds of torque. I mean, for a bike that's pretty light, it sounds gnarly. But,
yeah
I've seen this video, actually.
I mean, this one I feel like should run. Like, if you're buying the jet bike and it doesn't run. Like, yeah. I get it. But this one is, like, it looks like a motorcycle. It should be able to ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a second bike that he bought, because he definitely bought the Geico one, too.
I think he started buying a couple of them. Because, I mean, this first video, this video where he rides or buys this bike, it has, like, millions of views. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good video, too. So, yeah. I think, obviously...
Pays for itself.
Yeah, definitely paid for itself.
In the mid-2000s, Senior had good reason to ignore the haterade. Business was a-booming, and I can't hear you over all of this money stacking when I'm stacking money because it's louder than you're hating. The show's success led him to open a massive new 92,000-square-foot headquarters.
That's insanely huge.
But at the time, his heated relationship with Paulie was finally boiling over. Part of the title's appeal was that they weren't scheming behind each other's backs like reality TV contestants. Their conflict was front and center, on camera, and it was real. According to Senior, Paulie's just an instigator. It's a front to make me look like a bad guy. He knows where the buttons are, and he pushes them like a keyboard on a computer machine. He pushes the buttons.
He knows where that space bar is. It's the biggest button.
On set producer Steven Nigg added, "The hardest part is getting Paulie to work. He's just a lackadaisical guy." Dude, if you're on a TV show and they got to get you to work, you're a scumbag. On the other hand, Paulie told a journalist at Motorcyclist Magazine, "I don't need encouragement to fight working with my dad." In reality, if you watched the show for long enough, you could tell that there were lots of reasons why these two dudes were constantly fighting, including the fact that they were both hot-headed metal workers from industrial New York. Of course they fought. Their relationship finally came to a head in 2009 episode of American Chopper, in which Senior fired Paulie from Orange County Choppers.
Wow. Doesn't Paulie have 20% stake in it?
Yeah, but you can still get fired.
That's true.
That's a minority share.
Yeah.
If you don't know what episode I'm talking about, maybe try Crackbook sometime. Because I don't believe you, and you do know. All right. In fact, your mom and grandma and several billion other people around the world also know this episode, or at least a part of it, even if they don't know it specifically from this episode, because one scene became an extremely widespread American Chopper argument meme.
Yeah. You know, the one where they're in the office.
Yeah.
Pointing at each other, throwing the chair.
I didn't realize that was the episode he got fired on.
Yeah, maybe that was just the one where they like disagreed over what pizza to get.
Yeah.
Yeah. And got a little heat.
No, the bike's supposed to be a pizza.
No, but I ordered the pizza. The argument begins in Senior's cramped office. 95,000 square feet, he's got a cramped office. And he berates Paulie for keeping lazy hours and not following his contract. Paulie defends his track record of delivering bikes on time as both men grow angrier and sweatier. Finally, Paulie throws his chair across the office and storms out, which inspires Senior to effing terminate him. They scream across the shop floor at each other as the other employees watch. Senior kicks a refrigerator over.
Whoa. A mini fridge.
Yo, come on, man. Paulie throws a trash can, then finally exits the workshop. It's incredible television.
That's where the trope of every like shop reality show comes from, is like that fight right there. It's always like, there's always got to be fighting. We're going to lose the shop.
It's such an inappropriate like display of how to handle your feelings, too. Yeah. Just like two huge guys in front of their employees screaming at each other and
they
breaking
yell at each
shit.
Other on like American Hot Rod, too.
Yeah.
I think Boyd Coddington would get into it with some of his employees. He wouldn't be crazy like that. But, you know, that was just like that set the watermark for what you got to be doing in these shows, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And now you got Avery getting bit in the face by a spider.
Yeah, these guys.
Avery.
They have disagreements, but they don't fight in a weird toxicity. No. The only toxicity on
Rust Brothers.
I was going to say American Rust, but no, they're Canadian.
They're Canadian.
The only toxic thing on Rust Valley is what the spider put in Avery's face.
Yeah.
Avery. delivery. What happened to your face?
I can't come in today. Dude,
talk about some like spotty build quality.
That might be the best moment I've ever witnessed on television. Where, like, Avery, wait, I got big the face of my spider.
It's like, it's so puffy. Like,
yeah, so
dude,
good.
Such a funny freaking show, dude. Oh my God.
Yeah. Sadly, none of this aggression was manufactured. As America watched, father and son severed both their business and personal relationship, and things only got more complicated from there.
Oh?
A year earlier, American Chopper had moved from the Discovery Channel to its corporate sibling, TLC.
TLC, the Learning Channel.
Oh, TLC, that's how you say
yeah.
it.
Yeah, the Learning Channel.
So you could learn.
Yeah.
In 2009, shortly after Pauly was fired, TLC canceled the show completely. The network claimed that its contract with OCC required both Senior and Junior to be part of the series. And so the original run for American Chopper ended somewhat anticlimactically when the season 6 finale aired on February 11th, 2010.
Hmm.
Behind the scenes, the complicated fallout from this fight roiled the Tuttle family and business. Senior tried to exercise a contract clause forcing Pauly to sell his 20% ownership of OCC. Pauly refused, and they ended up in court. During their legal dispute, father and son didn't speak at all. Senior even missed Pauly's wedding. That's bad, dude.
Yeah.
That's something you'll always regret, unless he gets married again, which took place shortly after their split. After a one-year non-compete clause in Pauly's contract expired, he started his own custom chopper shop down the road called Paul Jr. Designs. He's got to put his enemy's name in it.
Yeah, it would.
He's
I would
a junior.
Just take my dad's name out of it completely.
I would call it Derp County Choppers.
Derp County?
Yeah, I'd be like, Derp County Choppers as a dig to my old man.
Oh, that's not what it's called.
Oh, Derp County Choppers.
Hey, I'm my dad. I got a motorcycle business. That's not what it's called.
And to add insult to injury, later, he was joined by his younger brother, Mikey, and a few of the original OCC mechanics.
Dang, okay.
Father and the son still weren't speaking to each other, but that didn't mean much to TLC. All they really wanted was a TV show with both the Tuttles in it. The Learning Channel, more like...
The Tuttle...
Tuttle... Live Central. So less than 2 months after American Chopper series finale aired, TLC announced a sequel series, American Chopper Senior vs. Junior.
Hmm.
Whoa. I don't remember this at all.
This time, the focus was split between... It's like one of the later Power Rangers.
Yeah.
This time, the focus was split between Senior's team and Orange County Choppers and Pauly's new shop. But without Senior and Pauly bickering, the series didn't have the same spark as the original. It lasted only 2 years and did nothing to heal the family's tensions. Executive producer Christo Doyle told New York Post that, quote, "This is a very bitter situation that runs really deep. At times, I feel like I'm a family therapist and not a producer."
You know, producers, sometimes they are therapists, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Mm.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you're like, you got to make them feel really good. And you're like, you're doing great, you know? Yeah. Like,
you got to figure out the root causes of problems.
And then you're like, all right, let's go shoot this scene, buddy.
Yeah. Has a producer ever done that to you?
No, because I'm a delight to work with.
Yeah, you're always ready.
Yeah.
And now time to pay the bills.
If you think that was the end of these guys being on TV, well, you're wrong.
Idiot.
You're dead wrong. Yeah. This is the 21st century, people, and anything that can be rebooted will be rebooted. About a year after the Senior versus Junior debacle, Senior got a new solo show over on CMT simply called Orange County Choppers. The format was similar to American Chopper, but it only ran for one season and was most notable for the monstrous purple and gold chopper OCC built for Shaq.
Okay, I gotta see this.
Yeah.
I love how ubiquitous Shaq is. Dude, he's on Shaq every reality show.
Holy shit.
That's cool.
Dude, look at him riding next to Paul Sr. Makes Paul look tiny.
That's so funny.
Dude, that's sick as hell.
It's like such cool scale.
That's so funny. That's sick.
The difference between me and Shaq and me and Riley is the same. And
really?
So, yeah. And so like I would... I would love it if like Shaq would just come over one day and just like pick me up.
Yeah.
And or like hug me so that I could really know my partner's perspective.
CMT. This show's coming on after like Country Fried Home Videos.
Well, Dude Perfect was on CMT.
Were they really?
Mm. Yeah.
I watch a lot of Country Fried Home Videos. That's all I'm saying. And then there was Trick My Truck, which was a Pimp My Ride for semi-truck drivers.
With zero charisma.
No, it was funny. I don't know. I was 15 when I was watching that. Anyway, let's see. So,
I watch grown-up stuff now.
Yeah, I watch grown-up stuff.
Man stuff. Grown-up man stuff. Like Lord of the Rings.
Like YouTube videos.
I don't read Aragon books no more.
Nope.
I don't watch Trick My Truck.
I'm over that
Those
Aragon.
Are kids things. I do man stuff now. Yeah. Like, gonna get married.
Yeah, and do taxes.
And do taxes.
So, besides... So, Shaq, man. So, there's also a follow-up series with Senior and Mikey called Orange County Choppers American Made. That also ran for one season. I kind of remember that one. Meanwhile, Paul grew his own business in much the same way that Orange County Chopper succeeded. He may not have had his own hit series, but he was still Paulie from American Chopper. And that name recognition, plus his design abilities... I mean, he was very talented.
Mm-hmm.
Helped him land high-profile builds for clients like World of Warcraft, wow. Gears of War, and
Ferrari.
Whoa. Wow.
In 2020, Senior and Polly reunited for a special called American Chopper Last Ride. Orange County Chopper's initial headquarters was set to be demolished, and the two joined forces to build their first bike together in over a decade. It wasn't just a cash grab either. According to Polly, quote,
I was pushing for this for a long time. When you become a father, it makes a difference in the way that you see your own father.
Unfortunately, the episode turned out to be a disappointment to many fans who are hoping for a true burying of the hatchet, as Senior spent much of the time ignoring Polly. But regarding the time he had spent with his dad, Polly said that he, quote,
walked away feeling like $1 million.
You know, they should have made like a burying the hatchet bike that had hatchet handlebars.
Oh, yeah.
And then a shovel head.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, shovel head.
Yeah, because they're burying the hatchet, and then the seat is made out of dirt.
A dirt seat.
Ooh, compressed dirt.
Yeah, compressed dirt. And but it does get your butt dirty and everything.
Yeah.
Gets your butt dirty and everything.
Just like real dirt.
Just like real dirt.
Oh, wow. This seat is just like real dirt. It got my butt dirty and everything.
And everything.
People going to think I poop my pants after I sit on the wet grass.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It really gets your butt dirty and everything.
This is the Ryan Gosling bike.
Yeah, really gets your butt dirty.
Come for a drive with me on the hatchet bike.
Come for, I'm going to be bearing the hatchet bike. Be careful. It really gets your butt dirty and everything. You ever ridden this bike? You ever ridden this bike? The seat's made out of dirt. It really gets your butt dirty and everything.
Thanks to American Chopper, Orange County Choppers made an immediate and massive impact on the world of motorcycles. The Tuttles also became the unlikely faces of documentary-style TV boom, which included glossy profiles in the New York Times, Forbes magazine, and America's finest publication, Cigar Aficionado. But was the impact lasting? Robert Thompson, a television and pop culture professor at Syracuse University, thinks the answer is a resounding yes. According to him, American Chopper did more for motorcycles than Easy Rider. And he does have a solid point. Throughout the 70s and 80s, motorcycles in general and choppers specifically were widely associated with violence and biker gangs. These days, bikes are much more widely accepted, and maybe American Chopper had something to do with that. I feel like everything's much more accepted. Like, nothing's niche anymore. Where it's a ton of... Everything's core.
I was told my... Don't get tattoos on my arms because I'll never get a job.
Yeah.
It's like every manager has tattoos all over them now.
At least one other person thinks so. Paul Tuttle Sr. reflected that, quote,
I think what we've done has made motorcycling more accessible. I come from absolutely no background. I had no role models, no support. And basically, I taught myself everything. I think my story is absolutely the story of the American dream.
Yeah.
I agree
with that.
Hell yeah. And I do want to go back to defending a little bit. I think like a lot of Paul Jr.'s problems were probably like trying to get stuff done on a production schedule more than like a delivery schedule. And it seems like after he left, he's making like decent bikes, which is like what you wanted. There's a difference between making a bike
or like a car or like making anything for a person and like a business and making a thing for entertainment.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Because production schedules and production is king. And I think like a lot of the drama was probably like, this makes me look bad. Yeah. Like they probably didn't include it, but it was like, this is making me look like I don't know what I'm doing because you're making me do it so fast.
Yeah, cutting so many corners. Yeah. I think what you don't realize when you watch these shows is like, from start to finish, these bikes and any car in any show like this is at least 6 months of building.
Uh-huh.
Like, especially if you're doing it from scratch, that's a crazy ask. And it's probably, if it were left up to the production company, they'd want it done in a month.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. And that's just unreasonable. And so I bet there was a lot of like back and forth tension between.
Yeah, and Paul Sr. seems to be the kind of guy who, you know, got to where he's at by making crazy promise, like being like, yeah, we can do that. Of course we can do that.
Yeah.
And then he's like an Elon Musk. Yeah, yeah, we can do that. And then you go to the guy who's actually doing the stuff and it's like, what are you talking about? We can't do that.
I made one bike before.
Yeah, I made one bike.
So that was American Chopper.
I'm Team Paul Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He's pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Is everyone Team Paul?
Yeah.
It's not like a thing.
No.
Okay. It's Paul Sr.'s a jerk.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a criminal. He took a bunch of money from people.
The best thing I can say about them is that they're self-aware.
Yeah.
And then I'll leave it at that.
I think I'm going to go watch all of American Chopper now. It's on Discovery. So
I'll see you guys in a few months. Team Cody.
Team Cody.
Yeah.
Who's Cody?
The other guy.
The other guy.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Connolly.
Cody Connolly.
Cody Connolly.
Thanks for watching.
Unless he's committed crimes.
Mm.
Thank you guys for watching or listening to Pass Gas. If you're listening and not watching, you might want to check us out on YouTube. We have that channel. And if you're watching and not listening, what's the point? What a weird thing.
Follow James at James Pomfrey. Follow Joe at Joe G. Weber. Follow me at Nolan J. Sykes. Big thank you to the crew. Nick Giamuso, Audrey Holden, Gavin Kinzel, and Deji.
And our writer this week, Greg Nix. All right, bye.